Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside Grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The Seventh Beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Here are some pages. Pages from a man's diary. A man's life. The man is a young man. A citizen of Hanover City. His name, Clement Mahaffey.
Here I am at the end of my first day of practice as a lawyer. What I intend to do at the end of each day's work is to write down in this diary those things which, during the course of the day, I can make use of tomorrow, next week, next year. Not trivial things, but important things. Facts and thoughts which will help me to advance in my career. Not my career as a lawyer, but as a maker of money. If I could make more money by being a doctor or a chemical engineer, I'd be a doctor or a chemical engineer. But the law seems to be the way for me. The way to money, the way to influence, the way to power. Money, influence, power. Those are the things men want. Except that so many men are secretive about it or ashamed. Well, here in this diary in which I talk to myself, I'm neither secretive nor ashamed. Money, influence, power. I want them. I really want them. Hello? Oh, hello, Alice.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Oh, wonderful. But I'm lonesome a little. When are you coming home for dinner?
Ooh, in about an hour.
Oh, you're having a long day.
No, it's just a typical day.
Typical? It's only your first day, isn't it? How do you know yet whether it's typical or not?
Alice, I've settled that it's going to be typical. There aren't going to be any short days. They're all going to be long days.
Oh?
It's a case of a man wanting to be small or wanting to be big. Well, we've talked it over a dozen times. If he wants to be big, he's got to do things in a big way. And if he wants to do things in a big way, he isn't going to do them by keeping his eyes on the clock at 5 o'clock or 5:30 in the evening. I'll see you tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night. I'll see you every night at 7:30.
I love you, Clem.
And I love you, Alice. Let's see now, the diary. At least one page a day. At least one page. Let's see, where was I? Money, influence, power. The most fascinating, the most challenging things in life. The things worth dreaming about, writing about, and achieving.
That was a page from Clement Mahaffey's diary. Now for another page, not from his diary, but directly from his life.
Oh, Clem. Clem, did you see it?
See what?
The surprise I had for you.
Oh, you mean the new convertible in the garage?
Of course.
Oh, of course I saw it, Alice. It's very nice.
You really like it?
Of course I like it. Oh, I love you, Alice.
And I love you, Clem.
Did you tell the Hanover Motors people that I'm going to turn in the old one?
The who people?
Well, Hanover Motors.
Oh, I didn't get the new one from them.
You what? Well, whom did you get it from?
Mrs. Barry's husband. Well, she's a lovely woman.
Well, that may be so, but her husband means nothing to me. Nothing.
What do you mean, Clem?
I mean that in a business way, Mr. Barry can never... Well, he can never possibly be of any use to me. The Hanover Motors people can.
After dinner that evening, Mahaffey goes back to his office, completes his work on a legal brief, then turns to his diary.
Alice buying that car from George Barry. It's had me upset for the last 3 hours. Oh, she meant well. She means well in everything she does. But meaning well isn't enough. No action in life should be taken without looking at its practical results. And the result of dealing in a business way with George Barry will be nothing. Very much upset, very angry. I don't feel like going home tonight at all. Even if I do go home, I know I won't sleep. It's thoughtless of Alice. I don't understand her. It was thoughtless. No.
Hello?
Alice Clem.
Oh, yes, Clem.
I'm going to be at the office some time yet. You better not wait up for me. In fact, I think after I'm finished, I might as well stay here in town. I can stay at the Hanover Arms Hotel. I'll be working late tonight, and I have to be back here in the office early tomorrow, so I might as well not waste a full hour on transportation back home tonight and back here in the morning.
All right, Clem.
Good night, Alice.
Clem.
What?
Are you angry with me about anything?
No.
I mean about the new car.
No. Forget about it.
I'm afraid you sound as if you're not forgetting about it.
Well, I'm busy, Alice. Good night.
Time passes and... Well, shall we look over Clement Mahaffey's shoulder as he writes another page in his diary?
I try to live up to my religion. I keep the commandments. I go to church on Sunday. I give generous donations to the parish. And my wife, Alice, is an angel. She's religious enough for the two of us. Personally, if I took literally everything that Father Morgan preaches about, I'd be so confused that I wouldn't know where I stood. Take his sermon of last Sunday.
Blessed are they who mourn. That means that we must feel sympathy and extend charity to fellow human beings who are in trouble. And it means more. It means that we must feel sympathy for Christ, for God Himself, on account of all the sin in the world that makes the world so imperfect. He wants it to be perfect. And sin spoils it. And for our love of him to be complete, we must mourn with him the way he mourned over Jerusalem.
I'm no hypocrite.
mourning with people whose troubles are their own fault, as most troubles really are, that's something I just don't approve of. As for mourning with Christ, mourning over the world's sins and imperfections, that's something for priests and nuns. They have the time for it. We laymen have our livings to make.
Well, Clement Mahaffey made his living, a good living. A man who was ruthless with himself, he put the naked truth about himself down in the pages of his diary. But the mask he presented to the world was a mask of confidence, determination, and smoothness. That was how, for the first 10 years, he got ahead.
You seem to be doing well in that Hamilton case, darling.
What do you know about the Hamilton case?
Oh, I've been reading about it in the papers. Today, I went to the courtroom to listen to you.
You what?
I went to the courtroom to hear you talk. Oh, you were wonderful. I knew you could talk, but I never knew you could talk quite as well as all that.
You flatter me.
I'm telling the straightforward, unprejudiced truth. I only wish the children were old enough to appreciate you.
Don't tell me you'd like to inflict the Hamilton case on them.
It is rather complicated, isn't it?
Today it was all complications. The most legalistic I've ever been up against.
Well, none of them stumped you, as far as I could tell.
Alice, I appreciate your interest and encouragement, but I think you'd do better to skip the Hamilton case.
You really do? Well, then, of course, I won't go there again, Clem.
Now, some of these cases can get quite involved and rather nasty at times.
You'd just rather I wasn't there.
That's right, Alice.
I see. I see, Clem.
Yeah, I'll be glad myself when it's over and done with.
Well, this Mr. Hamilton, is he a gentleman?
I'm afraid that for a time today, the testimony didn't make him look like one.
But is he one, Clem? I'm just curious.
Whether he's a gentleman or not, he's my client. It's my job to make him look like a gentleman, at least. He's paying me good money for it, and I'm doing my best to earn it. I wish that Alice could understand that not all life can be perfect. And that not all people can be Alice Mahaffey. And that Clement Mahaffey is interested in any money he can make legally from any client who is able to pay it to him.
Darling, you look tired and worried.
I'm not worried, but I'm tired.
Why don't you treat yourself to a good long rest?
I'm too busy.
Whatever you have to do, why not for a whole month? Leave it to your partner.
I wouldn't think of it.
Look, dear, the Hamilton case is over, and that work you did for the Cleaver Corporation. And you're tired, Clem. You're fagged out. You owe yourself a rest, a good long rest. A whole month, at least.
With everything slipping out of my hands?
Well, Clem, everything's not slipping out of your hands. You're a success, a terrific success.
The Hamilton case, that was big stuff, wasn't it? And the Cleaver Corporation, that was big stuff, too. Well, you know that on my books just now, I have nothing but little stuff?
Oh, that's happened before, Clem. The big stuff, as you call it, will come again. Why not get freshened up for it? Get all set for it. It'll come to you, dear. It'll come.
I wonder.
Well, he refused to get freshened up for it. And the big stuff, as he called it, did come to Clement Mahaffey again. And he handled it. He handled all of it with skill, with determination, and with drive. And still, when he has the time, he records it all in his diary.
I can't understand a woman like Miss McCauley. Here she is, my secretary for 12 years. Well paid. Very well paid. And what happens to her? A nervous breakdown, resignation, unkind words to me, her employer. I'm hard, she says. I'm cruel. I pay her enough money to buy herself and her parents a nice home. Now resignation, feminine tears. Well, Miss McCauley, goodbye. As far as I'm concerned, you could... Hello?
Clem, Teresa just went to the hospital.
Teresa? Who's Teresa?
Barry. Teresa Barry, my best friend.
Oh, good.
Don't you think it's awful?
What's the matter with her?
Oh, she's dying. I don't know what it is. Something about her blood, her heart or something.
Oh, that's too bad.
Clem, you just don't care.
I do care, Alice.
You don't. She's my best friend, and I know you don't.
All right, I don't. Well, if you want to know, so am I upset.
Clem, what's the matter?
If you're so interested in Teresa Barry, why don't you go to the hospital and stay there with her?
What I'm doing is coming right down here to your office to take you home. You're tired, Clem. You're tired, you're nervous, you're exhausted.
Alice, stop talking to me as if I were a child. I'm not coming home. All these pious worries and flutters of yours, I'm sick and tired of them.
Darling, you are... I'm coming to your office. I want you to come home with me. You will, won't you, Clem? Won't you, Clem?
All right, I'll come home. But don't you come to the office.
All right.
Stay right where you are. I'll get home by myself.
All right. See you later.
Oh, good morning, Alice.
Oh, Father Morgan, it's so good of you to see me.
Well, that's what I'm here for, to see people. And what are you selling, Mrs. Mahaffey? Candlesticks, holy pictures, life insurance?
It all depends on what you're buying, Father. Would you be interested in a bushel of someone's personal troubles?
Sit down, Alice. That's it. Make yourself comfortable.
Thank you.
Now tell me, what's the matter? Are you in trouble? You don't look it. You look blooming.
Well, if I am, it's from lack of sleep.
No.
Father, Clem has gone to a psychiatrist.
Really?
Is it wrong, Father? I mean, for a Catholic to go to a psychiatrist?
Well, there are all kinds of psychiatrists, you know. Who's the one Clem's going to?
Dr. Stevenson.
Oh, good man. Good reputation.
Father, I'm so worried.
What's the trouble, Alice? Is Clem cracking up?
How did you know?
Oh, I've chatted with him on the street in town now and then. I haven't liked the look in his eyes. What's he been doing? Overworking?
Yes. And he hasn't had to. I haven't been forcing him to.
No, I'm sure you haven't.
I've been begging him to take it easy.
The law, real estate, the hotel business, politics. He's been branching out, hasn't he?
Yes. But I'm afraid without any roots.
Now, that's an interesting observation.
I mean that sometimes I wonder if he has any religion, Father.
He goes to Mass on Sundays, doesn't he? He receives the sacraments.
I know, but... Oh, you know that that isn't always everything. I mean, does he love God? Does he love anything?
Well, I never like to discuss people's motives, people's hearts. You never can tell.
You can tell, though, when you talk to the people themselves.
Even then, not always.
Will you talk to Clem, Father? Could you have dinner with us some evening and maybe, well, maybe you and he could have a quiet hour or so in his study?
I'd be glad to, Alice. But let's not make it look too obvious. He might resent it if he knew I took it for granted that he was nervous. Let's think it over. And meanwhile, perhaps Dr. Stevenson will straighten him out. I hope he will.
Pray that he will, Father.
Yes, I will, my dear.
There's something wrong with my Clem. Something seriously wrong.
Hard times come upon Hanover City. 2 long months of near tragedy. A strike takes place in the city's 2 big sheet metal plants. And the local transportation company is struck too. The long, uninterrupted prosperity of the city is hard hit. Workers have to be careful about spending their savings. Many of them are depending upon relief. and the local shopkeepers are desperate. Now, who's to blame? Management or labor? No one knows. The issues are very complicated. Federal conciliation officials are doing their best, but the strike goes on day after day, week after week. And Hanover City is in the grip of the worst crisis in its history. This particular evening, during the strike, as Clement Mahaffey comes home.
Hello!
Clem, darling. My, oh, my.
Well, why the my, oh, my?
You're looking so well.
I'm feeling better every day.
Oh, Dr. Stevens is doing wonders for you.
Yeah, good man.
And look at all the work you have there. 2 briefcases.
Guess what, Alice?
Is the strike going to be settled?
Good guess. Very good guess.
Oh, thank God.
Take it easy. It isn't settled quite yet. But it's going to be, Alice. It's going to be. I'm going to make the settlement the great accomplishment of my life.
Clem, have they...
The Chamber of Commerce, in agreement with representatives of management and labor, have asked me to arbitrate the whole business.
Oh, Clem, that's wonderful. So they turned to you.
Oh, they were thinking about that man Shaffrey, too. He's intelligent enough, all right, but he's too quiet. He's almost mousy. I persuaded them that I had a formula and that... Well, that I have the necessary force of personality. Force. It takes that as well as intelligence, you know.
Force? Personality. Well, you have plenty of that, Clem. Oh, thank God this terrible thing will soon be over.
Well, off to the study. I have to go through all these papers.
It won't... Well, staying up all hours won't affect your health, will it?
Alice, this opportunity is a tonic. A real tonic. It's better than anything Dr. Stevenson could ever do for me.
3 nights later, Clement Mahaffey is in the hospital. A shattered, profoundly wretched and unhappy man. Without consulting management or labor, the Chamber of Commerce, or the federal conciliators, he consulted only the papers in his briefcases and his own self-confidence. And all on his own, he issued to the newspapers his formula for settling the strike. No one was satisfied with it. It set management against labor, labor against management. There were ugly outbreaks of violence, and people all over the city took their pent-up feelings out on Clement Mahaffey. The would-be peacemaker had proved a troublemaker, and it was 2 more weeks before quiet, patient Clarence Shaffrey could calm the waters and bring about an end to the strike. Clement Mahaffey goes to a sanitarium in the country. There, visited by Alice twice a week, he slowly recovers. Alice talks with him, reads to him, smiles as bravely as she can, and all the while, either in the quiet of St. Francis Church or in the quiet of her heart, she prays. Well, Clement can at last sit up and look out over the mountains and the valleys. One day he's visited by Father Morgan.
No, I don't object to your visit at all, Father. On the contrary.
Oh, Clem, it's good to see you looking so improved.
It need never have happened, Father.
You just overworked yourself, Clem, but don't worry yourself about it.
It wasn't overwork, it was something else. A whole lot of things.
Well, now, Clem, don't reproach yourself.
Look, Father, it's all in this book here. This diary. I asked Alice to get it for me. It was in my office. I asked her not to read it, but just to bring it to me. Well, I've been studying it. It's a picture of myself. A self-portrait. A portrait of myself looking into a mirror and admiring myself. Looking into a mirror of solemn, comical, stinking pride. Would you like to read a file? Read it. Then destroy it. Throw it away. Burn it. I'm finished with it. Alice's prayers and this ugly book. They put me onto myself. Would you mind if I went to confession to you, Father? I mean, here and now.
Father Morgan read the book, and then he destroyed it. Then one time when he was a guest preacher far away from Hanover City, he preached a sermon. And the last words of his sermon were these.
If you want to have peace, if you want to confer peace, read the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, it says. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after justice, after righteousness, after holiness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the clean of heart. Only by practicing the first six Beatitudes can you practice the seventh. Blessed are the peacemakers. You can't give, you know, what you don't have. But if you practice, and if the world practices, the first six Beatitudes, then you will practice the seventh almost without trying. You will have peace in your hearts, and then you will be able to give under God true peace to others.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He look upon you with kindness and give you His peace. Amen.